Hey everyone, welcome back to How to Study the Bible. Today is a special day. I've got my new friend Rayshon Graves with us, and we're going to do today just a little bit differently. For those of you who are new here, we are studying through the book of Romans, and it is not too late to catch up. We're just in Romans chapter 4 today, and it's been so fun to gather our community from around, really truly around the world, getting to connect with you guys in our Facebook group, if you're receiving the reading plan in your email, whatever way you're being blessed by this podcast, if it's just listening and following along, we're so, so glad that you're here. And I know for me personally, you guys have created a space for me to have accountability and structure in my own Bible study, because even as pastors, we definitely get off track, and it's been a really deconstructing time in all of our lives. And I think being able to do this together in the fall and get back into some structure is awesome. So I want to introduce Rayshon to you guys. Rayshon is a pastor here in Richmond, Virginia, where we both live. And he's also the host of a podcast called Ask a Pastor. We're just real clear. We're real clear with our podcast titles. Rayshon, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you, Nicole. Thanks for having me on here. And great to know you as a fellow pastor and fellow Richmonder as well.
So, awesome. Yeah. And Rayshon actually said he wanted to be in chapter 4. So we're going to get to do chapter 4 together. And what we want to do with you guys today, I want to invite you, if you have your Bible, if you want to open it up, if you're listening in the car, that's cool. Come with us. But if you have read chapter 4, you've got it in front of you, that's what Rayshon and I are doing. We both have our Bibles open in front of us. We're sitting in front of this mic, but really we're just doing Bible study together. And one of the things that's incredible about the community of faith is that God calls us the body of Christ, and we all are different parts of that body. And when we come together the way we're doing, we have an opportunity to learn from each other's lives and find commonalities, but also ways to encourage one another in our differences. And so we're going to walk through that together. We're just going to use those four questions that we use in the Alive Method and talk about this chapter 4. So our first question is just, what does it say? We always want to remember, like, man, before we go any further, we want to be able to summarize what we've read, like, in the most basic form. So Rayshon, take it away. What is chapter 4 about? What does it say?
Yeah, it's really justification. God declaring us righteous, all who believe and put their faith and trust in the person and work of Jesus, and how that happens,
okay,
what that looks like.
Cool.
And Paul's kind of appealing, you know, that game of Uno, the wild card. He throws down the wild card of Abraham, you know, the Jews' kind of greatest ancestor, and goes through to make his point. So
I love how you just said that. So yeah, so he's using this wild card,
yeah,
which of course for the rest of us, we've got to ask the question. Remember, we always talk about the Alive Method. When you get to what does it say, you should have questions. If you're really reading closely and you're trying to summarize, not one of us, doesn't matter how long you've been in Bible study, should not have a question about it. So I'm writing down, like, why this wild card? What would this mean,
yeah,
to the audience at the time? Like, when this was written, how would those guys receive that? That's one of my questions coming out of what does it say. So what else does it say?
Yeah. I mean, just thinking about kind of this whole process of what it looks like to believe Jesus and how it's even more not so much as about our action and what, mm-hmm, we can do, or even what Abraham did, using him as an example, but what God does,
mm-hmm,
and what it means for us in believing Jesus, and, you know, as even going to the end of the passage, what it looks like for us to believe in his death and his resurrection,
mm-hmm,
for our justification or for our acceptance.
So. Yeah, I love that. I mean, that might be a great way to even proceed forward. It's like, okay, what does, since Abraham's the wild card that's used, like, what does Abraham do and what does God do in this passage?
Yeah.
We could even create a little chart and be like, okay, what happens? I mean, what stands out to me, what I'm underlining, is this phrase that comes up a couple times, credited to him as righteousness, that there's this Abraham believed God, and it seems like Paul is basically saying, hey, if your argument is that Abraham did something to be righteous,
yes,
I'm going to dismantle the argument, especially there in the middle of the chapter, mm-hmm, where we start talking about circumcision and uncircumcision, and, mm-hmm, that's like, you probably would want some, y'all listening,
yeah,
we're like, what are, you know, you might have questions. We're not going to address all those questions right now, but again, that would be like a whole section of,
yeah,
Bible study where you'd be like, I probably need to understand, what does circumcision mean, mm-hmm, as a sign? Why was it a seal? And obviously there's like a little bit about timeline going on in here. We're talking about, mm-hmm, wait a second, guys, if you think that's the reason that Abraham's righteous, seems to me like Paul's wild card is he's laying down an argument why you're putting righteousness on the wrong action.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you
That's
agree.
A good point. Yeah, no, I agree. I think the action, the working, I mean, you look at, you know, verse 4 and 5, work, gift, and how, you know, we're usually wired to wanting to work to earn something or to see salvation as something that must be earned by us. But, you know, Paul talks about here how it's a gift. It's not what righteousness and salvation is a gift. Mm. And so, yeah, that contrast of kind of how we default, but how God actually functions and what God actually is doing in salvation. I think that's a, you know, a good comparison to like what he's getting at, because, you know, even as you were talking about in Romans 3, like if we're all on this kind of, you know, neutralized place and equal place of being sinners, I mean, we don't want to stay in that place. We want to try to work our way out of it to change ourselves.
I love that. So I'm looking and thinking, because this obviously like the next step for me after we've kind of read like a longer passage is I try to focus in on like, okay, where's our main point for today? Now, y'all probably know this by now. We could study Romans for years and take little pieces at a time, but obviously we're doing a flyover in this 16 weeks. I'm really drawn, honestly, to verse 3, just because it says, what does Scripture say? Hey, like, ding, ding, ding. Like, if the Bible says to you, like, what does Scripture say? You know, like, okay, we're probably getting to the heart of the matter. Like, that's a good signal, like, when you're reading.
Yeah.
And you just, like, picked it up. We were in Romans 3 talking about we're all equal. We're all equal as sinners. And then Paul's like, okay, what does Scripture say? This is verse 3. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, for those of you who are following along in your study Bible, you're going to notice that that verse is in quotes, and that gives us, okay, this is from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Paul's quoting somewhere else in Scripture, and then our study notes are going to tell us where that is. So I'm going to put a little note there for when we get to what's the backstory. We probably want to know more about that. But then verse 4 and 5 that you just talked about. Now, to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation, right? If you and I do work and we do honest work, we get a paycheck for it. Mm-hmm. Verse 5, however, to the one who does not work but trusts God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. And to me, I feel like that's kind of the main part of this chapter. And then, you know, Paul builds out the argument around why it doesn't work to depend on works.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, basically. And he uses like the main guy. So he's like, hey, let's think about the guy that's the hero for everyone in the Jewish faith. And I'm going to basically dismantle his works righteousness, which can you guys imagine? Like if you just think about, I don't even know who you think of as a holy person. Let's take Mother Teresa.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's almost like Paul's saying like, hey, you guys, let's talk about Mother Teresa. She does all these things. Guess what? That's not what makes her righteous. So it would be really, to me, like in a tone kind of way, I'm like, man, that would be disconcerting.
Yeah.
Because he's saying, let me take the best and the brightest and the greatest and tell you how that's not.
Yes.
That's not it.
Right. It's like stack your works against the works of the most holy person that you can think of.
Yeah.
And the scales just don't balance. And even Mother Teresa's scales don't balance, because the work that really matters is Jesus's.
Hey guys, we're here because the Bible has changed so many lives. So just take a second and think about if you didn't have access to a Bible or you weren't even allowed to have one. This is a reality that many around the world are facing, which is why I want to tell you about one of our partners, Crew. Crew has missionaries in almost every country and they are seeing people come to know Jesus. There's just one thing they're missing, a Bible in their own language, and that's where you come in. For only $24 a month, you can provide 3 people with Bibles each and every month. When you sign up to provide 3 Bibles with a monthly gift of $24, Crew will also provide meals to 12 hungry individuals through their humanitarian aid ministry. Plus, you'll receive a free copy of my new book, Not What I Signed Up For. Simply text STUDY to 71326 to help today. That's STUDY, or visit give.crew.org/study. Again, that's give.cru.org/study. Message and data rates may apply and available to U.S. addresses only.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
So if you go into the Gospels and you think about Jesus and the fact that people were like offended by what he was saying, even though when we look at this, if we think about chapter 3 and what we were just talking about, it's like, I don't know, Rayshawn, sometimes when I read the Bible, I think a lot of our problem is it's like too good to be true.
Yeah.
Like I was just thinking about that this morning. I was confessing, just felt a little bit off this morning, felt like I was just not where I wanted to be with the Lord. And I felt myself wanting to like work into something, like I'm going to be good today, you know, and wasn't doing this at all. It's almost like it's such good news. It's so incredibly different than the way we live in our human nature that we almost reject it. Like it's like, no, it can't possibly be that good.
Yeah. It's just an ethic that I mean, whether that's contextually or nationally, whatever the case may be, that we feel like this is what we bring to the table.
Yeah.
We contribute. And we take joy and pleasure in the fact that we have earned something.
Mm-hmm.
But this takes it completely out of our hands.
Right.
Because it's like, you know, even you look at the next few verses and, you know, as Paul quotes David, blessed is the person whose lawless acts are forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, blessed is the person who has something done for them.
Yeah.
Instead of the person who actually does something. You know, same thing for me. I'll go in a quiet time or prayer and try to work or have a desire to work or atone for my forgiveness or for whatever it is that I'm looking for, acceptance before God. And I'm just constantly reminded that I could never do that.
Yeah.
Something has been done.
Yeah.
And faith is trusting in that work and not my own works.
Yeah. So good. See, we're pastors, y'all. We can't stay in what does it say, but we're gonna circle back. We're gonna wait on what does it mean. We're gonna get to how to apply it to our lives.
I can't always jump ahead.
But okay, so we've talked about what it says, and we pointed out a couple of things. I love that you pointed out that David's quoted too. So let's do the backstory. Let's ask that question. Well, what's the backstory here? And I'm real drawn in by the fact that Paul is using a story about Abraham, and he's quoting David, because I think for a lot of us, we're like, okay, seems like God in the Old Testament is a God of wrath. You know, we've just gotten some really bad news, like, hey, we've got a problem, and the problem is we're never holy enough for God. But now we're turning the corner here, and Paul's actually going back to the Old Testament and saying, what I think he's saying is like, no, this is always the way it's been. Like, this has always been the plan.
Yes.
This has always been who God is. And, I mean, what good news in verse 8 when he quotes David, blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. Like, something cosmic and cataclysmic has happened in whatever this thing is, as we're talking about God crediting righteousness. That means that you're not under the wrath of God anymore.
Yeah,
like it says, not the Lord won't count your sins against you today because you asked for forgiveness, or God won't count your sins against you that time that you weren't a Christian. It's like, no, never, ever, not in the past, not in the present, not in the future, never. Like, it's huge, big news. But let's talk about where Scripture's coming from with this. When we look back at verse 3, you know, that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. What's the backstory there? What's that talking about?
Yeah, that's you know, Abraham and his covenant with God, and just Genesis 15, I believe. And Lord comes to Abraham and said he's going to be his shield, his exceedingly great reward. And, he makes a covenant with Abraham, and Abraham believes God. He says he's going to give him a son. Abraham believes, and it is credited to him as righteousness, which again is kind of trying to wrap your head around it. Like, what does all that mean? What's happening in that moment? But
And take the Bible away.
Yeah,
take what we know about God's presence away, because we're in Genesis right now. So we're back in the very, very beginning. The only way that God's revealed himself is through creation.
Yes.
There's nothing else.
Yes.
So when Abraham's like having this experience with the God of the heavens, he's not like, Jesus loves me. I love for us to all remember, like, he didn't have the law. And then what Paul's saying, he didn't have circumcision. There wasn't any way to show that you were committed to God. There was no other options, right?
Right.
Yeah. And then also, like, he was old.
Yeah. He was old. Yeah. And God's going to do all of these things for him, make him a you know, father of many nations.
Yeah.
You know,
even though like Sarah was past childbearing age, he's an old guy. They don't got anything to rely on outside of that. They don't have work that they can do. But it's the thing, like, and this is what's so amazing to me, is Paul saying, hey, outside, especially to this audience, that's like outside of all the rules, outside of all the ways that you can figure out how to be good, which we're always in too in our world. But in this world at the time, it was like outside of all of that, I'm going to now build an argument on how the father of all the nations, the one that you look to, what God wanted out of him was belief.
Yeah.
It was not law. It was not works. And what does that mean for us today? Like, what all he did was believed. And I love that it was like impossible things. I mean, if you really want to get into it, it's like there, Abraham had to believe things that he could not see could possibly be true.
Yeah. Verse 19, he considered his own body to already be dead. You know, then since he was about 100 years old, like, okay, he literally was like all the way up there. And and it's like, it's him extending his hands to God saying, I'll take whatever it is you're saying. I'm going to rock with that. I'm going to go with that.
Oh, man, so good. All right, let's move to what does it mean, our third question. This is like when we're thinking about the principle. And, you know, like I say every week, you guys, when we're looking for a principle, we're kind of building a theory. What does this tell us about God? What does this tell us about humans? What does it tell us about the interaction of God and humans? And whatever that principle is, it should apply to the audience that it was written for as much as it applies for us. It stands outside of time. It stands outside of your circumstances. It's like a truth, right? So, Rayshon, like what comes, and there's a lot of them in here. There's tons, but what are a couple that come to mind for you?
Yeah, a couple that come to mind for me is, you know, especially when he's talking about just kind of the Jewishness of this passage and the circumcision, the covenant, things like that, and how even how this entire letter has been addressing people, multi-ethnic people, Jews, Gentiles, and how Paul kind of levels everybody, puts everybody on the same level. And then right here, he starts to bring everybody into the fact that this is for anyone who has faith. You know, you might think, oh, I have the law, or you might think, I don't have any law at all. Like, this is for those who are the children of Abraham, who by faith, by believing and trusting. And so, yeah, I think for them, I think it's something of a reminder that, like you said, this is the way God has always done things. This is how God becomes, you know, Abraham becomes the father of many nations, how God redeems the nations, people, from every tribe, nation, and tongue. And it's all through this way that he's established. And so I think for the people who are reading this letter or listening to this letter be read, that's really encouraging, especially, you know, if you're a Gentile or someone who's kind of outside of the the covenant of you know, what God did for the Jews. This is encouraging to know that, man, I am connected to Abraham in this way.
Yeah, for me, I go kind of to the end of the chapter where we're going to see, for me, of course, I'm like, okay, credited to him as righteousness is clearly the main point because, like, it's been repeated so many times. But what I love, like, in a world of confusion, if you're just asking the question, what does this really mean and how do I do it? You just, you get your answer in verses 23 and 24 because it's like, hey, okay, this whole, everything that Paul has set up, this whole argument about like how faith is actually about belief. It's about God crediting to us righteousness. He just makes it really clear in verse 24. He says, hey, this is how God credits righteousness to you. You believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. And you believe that Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification.
Yes.
You don't, we don't need to rewrite that. Like, if you want the principle, there it is.
There
like,
it is.
This is what it means to be righteous in God's eyes. And we don't use the word righteous a lot in our culture, so I almost want to restate it. Like, I'm like, this is what it means to be fully at peace with yourself.
Yes, yes.
This is what it means to be fully alive and okay in the world. This is what it means to be 100% safe in every way. Like, if you were going to take all the righteousness words away and just say that, it's like God has given us a very, very clear thank you, Lord and Paul, for writing, like inspiring Paul to write this, where we're like, okay, that's what it's about. And it's not about anything else, you guys. Like, that's all it's about. And knowing, embracing, leaning into this, wrestling with it, that chat, that verse 24, to me is the actual, like, crux of our faith, truly.
Yeah, I love how just, you know, that big word of God's transcendence, or his freeness and his power to be able to break into our realities that are really, again, tainted by sin and our fallenness. Mm-hmm. And when we couldn't help ourselves or do anything to work enough to be accepted before God, like, well, you see his goodness, you see his love, you see his proactiveness in actually caring about us and doing for ourselves what we couldn't do.
Yeah.
And in his word, he does that with his word. I mean, this is the same God who speaks what wasn't and makes it so that it is. Mm. And that's essentially, that's us. I mean, you know, we like to say that our words have that kind of ability, and they don't. But, you know, we like to manifest things or speak positively. But like, no, but we know the guy who does.
Yeah.
And he does that for us in a really big way.
Absolutely.
And that's so encouraging. Like the main crux of that is like, he's literally gone the lengths through Jesus' death and resurrection to see to it that that we can experience that peace, and that safety and acceptance with him.
Yeah. And we've got that word justified. Actually, it's the last word of the entire chapter is justification. We're going to get into that in the next chapter. So if you just have a little like, I really want to understand justification, then that's coming our way as we go into the next chapter. But I just want to ask you, Rayshawn, are you old enough to have ever balanced a checkbook?
Yes.
Did you see? I was like being his big sister in the Lord. when I think about what does this mean for me and what does it mean for me? Like, we always are drawn to, like, when we're really applying God's word to our life, we're either drawn to worship, we're drawn to confession, we are getting an encouragement or specific direction for our life. That's generally how I leave scripture if I've been in it. And for me, I just have this image of holding the checkbook and this whole idea of being credited righteousness. It's like whatever amount you are in debt, it's just that you're so in debt you could never repay it, and you just see it. God's hand comes in, cancels that debt.
Yeah.
Like, that's what credited as righteousness
and
actually puts us back into standing. So like, let's say you had a horrible debt and your credit score was like just in the tank.
Yeah.
He's also going to raise your credit score. not just, okay, now you're back to zero. It's like, no, you're that debt is canceled and you're back in this standing and it will never not be that. And I just worship. I mean, my response today is like, thank you, God. Oh my gosh. Thank you, God, that's the way that you've said it will be.
You know,
thank you to Jesus for taking my sin and your sin and our sin upon himself, like making a way. Hey, man, will you pray for us as we wrap up our time? Just everyone listening and those of you guys, wherever you are, whether you're with us, you know, right on Monday as we're talking through this or later. Rayshawn, would you just pray us out?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. And thanks for having me on.
Oh, really, it was awesome. Guys, we'll put Rayshawn's podcast in the show notes so you can go listen to Ask a Pastor as well.
Yeah, let me pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for your work. You did work perfectly when we do it so imperfectly to try to earn acceptance and forgiveness and love from God. We can never do that on our own, but we thank you, Lord, because you've done for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Through your perfect life lived in our place, your death on the cross for our sin, and then your powerful resurrection, you've made it so that we can truly be accepted before God, truly experience forgiveness and peace and joy. So in some sense, in some small glimpse or even in a major way, help us to understand that. Help us to wrap our hearts and our minds around that as we're going to work or school or the playground or whatever we're doing in our lives. Would you help us to know that you're for us and with us? And we thank you for this reality, this big word of justification, how you've always been about that, even through showing that with somebody through Abraham and even doing that for us. And so we're just grateful and we rejoice and we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. See you guys next week. All right.
Good? Sweet.
Thanks for listening to How to Study the Bible with Nicole Eunice, a production of LifeAudio.com and the Salem Web Network. This episode was produced by Kelly Gibbons and our executive producer, Stephen McGarvey, and edited by Stephen Sanders. If you enjoyed what you heard today, we'd love for you to head over to your favorite podcast app and leave us a review. It really does help people find us. To learn more about Nicole, you can check out her website at NicoleEunice.com. Her book on how to study the Bible is called Help, My Bible is Alive. and you can find a link to that, plus a link to Nicole's site, in today's show notes.
No matter what you're going through, you are not alone. Sis, if you've experienced pain in your father-daughter relationship, I want you to know that you are loved and seen. I'm Kia Stevens, host of the Hope for Women with Father Wounds podcast, and I created my show to help you exchange your father wounds for the love of God the Father. Join me for encouragement, wisdom, and scripture. Just search Hope for Women with Father Wounds on lifeaudio.com or wherever you get your podcast.